Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thank you very much, Susan. Now, data from the Banking and Payments Federation released today indicates a slowdown in mortgage approvals last month and also shows a significant decline in switching activity amongst consumers. Well, CEO of the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland, Brian Hayes, is here in the studio now to talk us through the figures. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
For being with us. So a slowdown in mortgage approval figures, first of all, were you expecting to see that and what's behind it?
I don't think it's surprising. And I suppose in a scenario where there, you know, we see rising interest rates, inflation is strong, people may well be standing back and seeing where the market is before they take that plunge to actually buy. It's a small enough slowdown. I have to say there's a health warning attached to all these figures, Claire. I think I've said it on your show before. You should look at this over a 6 month period rather than 1 or 2 months. But there is a slight slowdown in the first 2 months. We think that's more to do with the reduction in switching. Last year was an exceptional year for switching, extraordinarily high. And largely because people were looking at interest rates, they were looking either for better rates from their own provider or switching entirely to a new provider. And they were fixing for a longer period.
Mm-hmm. Or they were forced to look at it because their lender was leaving.
Exactly. And even for those loans that went to the three pillar banks, people can always switch. But there was an exceptional rise in switching last year. And I think it was due to the fact that people knew interest rates were going up and they wanted to get best value. I think there's another thing going on as well. I mean, one of the things in our data this morning, if you look at last year, the Help to Buy scheme, which is a first kind of direct subsidy to first time buyers, the total number of applications was 24,000. In the first 2 months of this year, the total number of applications is 11,000, nearly half of the figure last year. So that says something, I think. I think first-time buyers, which represent 56% of all bank lending in Ireland, new mortgages, it shows that there's obviously we know there's a pent-up demand there. But if people are going to take the plunge this year, it's interesting that that exceptional rise in Help to Buy scheme applications is there in terms of what we've seen.
Okay, now looking at how long it takes to get mortgage approval. So the end of last year, it was taking between 40 and 53 working days to get that approval through. We've been told this morning, we asked a couple of people and they said that it's taking certain lenders up to 6 weeks to give mortgage approval. Why have those delays not been resolved and why is it taking that long?
Well, there's a lot of work that has to be done on both sides, not least for the lender side. I think it was Mark Carney on your programme last year, I recall, said a very important thing. You know, banks must take the precautionary principle. Banks have to stress test loans that they give out. And they've got to make sure, unlike what happened 15 years ago, that the person that they're lending the position to has the capacity to repay. They can't just lump on debt to people. So that's why I think they are taking their time. I suspect those time waits will come down as we go through the year.
But do you accept that it should take that length of time?
It depends. It depends. If you have all your documentation together, it shouldn't take that period of time. But sometimes there are legal issues to resolve. There are financial statement issues to resolve from the perspective of the borrower. And as I said, if you have all your documentation together, it shouldn't be that.
Well, can you give me a time? Say, let's imagine everything is in order. The borrower goes in very well prepared. Can you give me an ideal time that it should take to get that mortgage approval?
Listen, I would have thought within a month or so you should be able to.
So you think 4 weeks?
But approval is the other point. Is this, Claire? It's the context here. Approval is one thing; drawdown is another. I mean, sometimes we find people who have multiple approvals, and they do it for obvious reasons in trying to get the best rates, but are also trying to find an exemption because, as you know, under the macroprudential rules, banks can give exemptions. So sometimes there are multiple applications. But the real figure is the drawdown, the length of time it takes to draw down the mortgage. That's the real figure.
Okay, now, switching activity, which I know you touched on there before, and we're seeing from your figures today that there's been a decrease in the number of people who are switching. Just talk us through that again. Just how much of a drop has there been when it comes to that, to switching?
Well, it's down by at least a third from last year. But like historic rates of switching are quite low in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Some of it's around to consumer inertia. What we've seen in recent years...
Or lack of competition?
I think it's more around the fact that we have, we have quite a competitive market, even though we've lost two lenders, because we have, of course, AIB, Bank of Ireland, Permanent TSB, but we also have non-bank lenders who lend to the market, like Dillos Finance Ireland and Avant. So EBS is another one, and Haven. So we have, despite the loss of two fully serviced retail banks, we have competition. I think in future, you're going to find more competition product by product rather than bank by bank per se. But switching has historically been low in Ireland. And I think that is around trying to explain to customers that they have some role themselves in making sure that they're aware of the rates that they're paying and they look for better rates. There's a lot of good information out there. Bonkers.ie, CCBC have really good sites. I know Owen McGee's on your own show constantly talking to consumers, correctly so, about their role in this in ensuring that.
So you think the consumers are just a bit lazy when it comes to switching?
But they certainly weren't lazy last year, given the fact that...
But you've just said consumer inertia is to blame.
Historically. So what we've seen in the last 10 years is a dramatic rise in switching, this exceptional rise last year, and probably this year going back to more normal rates. But switching is important. Not just switching for mortgages, switching in the context of other financial services that you get as well.
Do you, at the Federation, encourage switching?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's fundamental to doing it.
One of our mandates is around competition. We want a profitable, sustainable landscape for banking and payments in Ireland. So competition is at the heart of that, absolutely.
Now, what's happening with interest rate increases for savers? The Taoiseach was encouraging the banks to increase the rewards for Irish savers because we've seen that the interest rates have gone up and we need to get it back on the other side. I know the mortgage rates are going up. It will be good to see savers getting that too. Why is that slower to happen?
Well, I see Christine Lagarde the other day spoke about the fact that sometimes it takes a number of months for the full effect of an interest rate rise to come through to the market. And let's not forget, the reason why interest rates are going up right now is because the ECB are putting up interest rates. The way in which the banks work, they are the transmission mechanism for the ECB for monetary policy. So it does take some time. The one thing I'll say on deposit rates, I mean, the full effect of the full increase of the ECB rate hasn't been felt by mortgage holders here, right the way across the banking sector. That may well have an impact in terms of deposit rates. There are differences bank by bank in terms of the deposit rates that are there. If I take the example of the last 6 years, if I was Clare Byrne and I had an account in a French or German bank, if you had €30,000, you'd be whacked on negative interest rates. You were charged by a bank. The equivalent amount by Irish banks was €1 million. No one was charged negative interest rates, despite the fact that the banks were losing on the deposits that they held in the last eight years.
But they're not losing now.
They're not losing now, but we come from a very, very different position. And one of the reasons why I think this volatility of the market is so acute in the last few weeks is because that interest rate rise of 3.5% since the middle of last year, added to the fact that we've had this lower for longer interest rate environment for the last decade, has led to that volatility. It will take time for the markets to settle down and to make sure that the full impact of interest rates is borne out.
And I detect from what you're saying that there's a choice here, that if we want to see mortgage rates going up even more than they are now, or those interest rates being passed on fully and quicker, that there has to be a balance here. So we either get increased rates on deposits or we get lower rates on our mortgages.
Any financial institution, any bank has to decide its own funding policy and how that funding policy is transmitted to consumers, both on the deposit side and on the interest rate side as well. So they will do that themselves, but there is still varying degrees of difference on deposit rates. The other thing I'll say is the Irish banking sector is awash with deposits right now. And that's great in some respects.
People, 150 billion, is it on deposits?
It's
roughly
closer to 200 billion actually in total. And that is great at one level because it means that the Irish banks are really safe because they use deposits to originate loans. In the past, they would have used, say, international vehicles, bonds, wholesale markets. Now they can do a lot of their loan origination through deposits. However, in an interest rate environment where inflation is still high, many of those people might say, do you know what, I'm actually going to take my deposits and use my deposits because I need those deposits now because things are really tough at the moment. So they've got to keep that balance between deposits on one side and the cost which they charge for the credit on the other. That's how they make their money. And that's how they make sure that the ECB policy on monetary tightening is actually transmitted.
And that situation that you describe with the high level of money on deposit, that's one of the reasons why, and you'll tell me the answer to this, why we shouldn't be worried about contagion from the Credit Suisse situation and what we saw with those banks in America.
Yes, yes. I think the big problem the banks in America was a dash for cash. It was liquidity. So there were effectively small numbers of large depositors, okay,
mm-hmm.
in SVP, where in Ireland there are kind of large numbers of small depositors.
Yeah.
So very quickly, if a large number of corporate uninsured depositors move, that bank's under difficulty. So that's a huge, huge difference between Irish banks and, say, that particular bank. That particular bank, its other big problem was that it had lent long to tech and venture capital. And, of course, we know that the tech industry is under particular strain in the last 6 months or so. So they had that issue. But there's huge differences between the US and banking systems. So, in other words, I'm an Irish bank. I'm over 30 billion in assets. I'm immediately part of a European-wide system of regulation. What does that mean? It means every month there's this group called the JST, the Joint Supervisory Team, which comes into my bank from Frankfurt, allied to the Central Bank of Ireland. So you have French people, German people, Italians, looking at our balance sheet, looking at our banks every month. So there's a totally different supervisory regime than happened 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, but the big, big difference is, so, you know, take a tier one bank in the States. Any bank under 250 billion is regarded as a community bank. In Europe, you wouldn't get away with that. So there are really substantial differences, not just in what we've done in the past decade to make banking more safer, but the differences between the US regulatory system and the EU regulatory system.
But the run on Silicon Valley Bank mm-hmm. happened. Depositors got windy, taking their cash out.
Social media risk.
Well, look, we heard the descriptions of that happening. Eyewitness accounts of people mm-hmm. queuing up to get their money out. What's to say that wouldn't happen here?
Well, firstly, you various different depositors, you can only take out so much each day. That's one aspect of liquidity. As I said, the big difference is we have lots of small depositors holding small amounts of money. Mm. Of course, where would they go with their money is the other question.
You have them trapped.
Well, we also have, of course, at a European level, we have a European level guarantees up to 100,000. So the question, I think, is around the differences. Now, both of the collapses that we've seen in the United States, SVB and Credit Suisse, it is interesting. They are both collapses outside of the Eurozone.
Mm-hmm.
They are both collapses which have contagion effects. This is not over. There's volatility and all the rest of it. But there were substantial differences between those two banks and the kind of mainstay pillar banks that we see in Europe right now.
You have been critical in the past of the capital reserve requirements mm-hmm. placed on Irish banks. But look now, you're saying that's one of the reasons why we are well protected here.
Yeah, and my criticism, I suppose, in the past is around how we can release some of those for the purposes of new investment. So I'll give you an example. The two banks that are leaving Ireland, Ulster Bank and KBC, everyone's talking, and a great job done, I have to say, by bank staff of exiting and remaining banks to make sure that that migration of nearly a million accounts has worked in the last year. Not over yet, but a huge thanks to all the people in call centres, in branches, you know, right the way on online banking, who've done a great job. But the big story behind the loss of Ulster Bank and KBC Care is this. 5 billion of capital is leaving this country and is not coming back to it. And the reason why we need our banks, our three remaining banks, to be strong and profitable on a sustainable basis is to make sure we have that capital that's needed from profitability to make sure we get lending going in a more different, challenging environment over the next decade or so. Without capital, you can't lend because you need to keep capital for the purposes of the loaned position. So it's really important that our banks remain strong and profitable for the purposes of new capital requirements.
All right, we have to leave it there. Brian Hayes, thank you very much for coming in. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.